Shannon. Today's first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the word of God. A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 17 through 25. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Let us pray. God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, every bit of ourselves, that we might be able to hear your word, that it might be able to grow root within us, and then we might be able to live in this world knowing your presence. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you guys have a favorite Christmas memory from when you were a child? You can think of it for just a minute. One of mine was actually going to the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service, that service that started later than most of us want to be awake, but lasts until you see the turning, the beginning of Christmas Day. We had gathered there in this small sanctuary in Pickens, South Carolina. We had sung carols, heard scripture, and then we lit our candles as we sang Silent Night. And here in this little sanctuary on the top of a hill, we did something different, which is that we actually walked out into the world and we made a circle, holding our candles and singing the last verses of Silent Night. I remember the candles. I remember the beautiful singing. I remember the cold. It was magical. It's a memory I never will forget. But then there are some other memories I have, too, of Christmases in the past. That Christmas morning, we awoke to find that in the middle of the night, Santa had indeed come for our young children. And perhaps our cat thought he was an intruder because the cat had taken down the Christmas tree. We woke up to find everything destroyed. Or the year that I woke up on Christmas morning so excited. But as the morning went on, I knew I was getting sick, and I barely made it through our traditional breakfast before the flu hit me, and then hit Dan, and then hit William, and then hit Anna. And all four of us spent all of our Christmas break in different areas of the house, in different stages of the flu. And all of our travel trips, all of our trips to visit family, everything had to be canceled, and we suffered together. Or another Christmas Eve service in the church, first church where I served, where the beauty of that moment, Christmas Eve, 11 o'clock service, candles all around us, it was disrupted and broken as we all looked at the associate pastor as she was at the wreath lighting the Christ candle, and we saw the 15-foot tree behind her begin to fall. And there was a collective gasp as it fell right next to her. She had no idea, of course, because she was facing the other direction. Or many of you may have memories of deep grief during this time of season that we talk about hope and peace and joy and love, but we may have had lost a person during this time period. We may have deep grief because we miss people during this time period. You know, unlike if you watch those Hallmark movies and everything is always perfectly decorated and everything happens as it should be, and the storylines, my husband will tell you, are always exactly the same. Unlike what they want us to believe, sometimes these things happen. Something happens that disrupts the peace and the beauty that we seek and that we may expect. Sometimes it's a funny story we can tell later, but sometimes it's also tragic and heartbreaking. The reality of Advent, of Christmas, is sometimes far different from what we expect or what we would like it to be. We would really like for it to things to always work, everything to be perfect. I would like to have the time and energy to do all of the things that I would love to be able to do so that I can enjoy the season. But often my experience, and perhaps yours as well, is far from that. The challenges of life continue. They do not pause. But yet, we come here and we light candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. Even though sometimes when we come, we might not feel hope. We might not feel peace. We might not feel joy. We might not feel love. And we sing these beautiful carols about the birth of the Christ child that contain idyllic words like, "Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes," or "Silent night, all is calm. Sleep in heavenly peace." We might imagine that that's what the peaceful night there on that first night was. We might forget, actually, that Jesus was born in a stable among loud animals and in the midst of a time of strife that so lacked peace that his family had to flee and become refugees in Egypt, scared for their lives. Not exactly what we would describe as peaceful. Well, our gospel lesson today tells us also about how Joseph's expectations were not exactly the same as his reality. You see, Joseph and Mary were betrothed, and during this time period, A betrothal was different than how we think of being engaged, in that it was actually legally binding. They were essentially married, although they had not moved in together yet. They had not lived together as husband and wife. During this betrothal period, after the arrangements were made, the groom would go back home, and he was supposed to be preparing the place in which they would live. Typically, that would be an addition onto his family, his parents' house, or a small house nearby. And once he was finished building, which could take some time, he would come and he would get married. He would come and get his betrothed and take them to the home where they would live fully as husband and wife. And that was the expectation, the betrothal, the preparation, and then to live together, to have lots of kids. In this time period, lots of kids. To live happily there, close to family, in their community, to eventually raise those children and arrange good marriages for them. That was the expectation. But then, for Joseph, then comes reality. Mary is found to be pregnant. And he knows that there's one way that happens, and he was not a part of that way. He doesn't know what to do. His world is rocked. There is no peace right now for Joseph, because he has to decide what he's going to do, how he will respond to this insult, to his reputation, to this destruction of his dreams. There are really three things that he can do. He can, number one, make formal accusations of adultery against her, clear her name, clear his name by throwing her under the bus. Or he could take a gracious route and release her from the betrothal without accusing her. Or he could go through with the marriage, take the child as his own, and bear the societal shame. You see, it was very important in that time period that your lineage be kept pure. And in this case, the shame was that he did not keep that pure. You know, I can imagine that Joseph had many sleepless nights as he struggled to understand what had happened and figure out what to do. And into this melting pot of emotions, Joseph might even ask, why me? Why? Why Joseph? Well, the Isaiah text that I first read actually gives us a little clue about that. For we read that a branch shall come from the stump of Jesse. Jesse, if you don't remember, is David, King David's father. And so those words tell us about the genealogy. And then if you remember at the beginning of the Matthew text, it talks about genealogy, and you might have wondered, why are we talking about this right here? But this is why. We're told that the Messiah will come from the lineage of David, and Joseph's lineage traces back to King David. Joseph, though, has his plans and his expectations, and they've all been turned upside down. And Scripture tells us that Joseph was a just man, and he resolved to take that middle road, the gracious route, to divorce her by releasing her from the betrothal. But then there's a pretty major plot twist. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, and the angel of the Lord says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Basically, don't be afraid, Joseph. Joseph, you have your plan, but God has a bigger plan. And so Joseph arose from sleep and did as the angel commanded him. He did that third option, the most unlikely option, the most unlikely thing possible. He married her, and her shame became his, and he kept the child as his own. You know, the situation did not change. There was still conflict. The community would still look down on both of them with great shame. But what changed was Joseph. In essence, Joseph received peace in the midst of inner turmoil and chaos when the angel came and spoke to him. And the truth is that the presence of God, the promises of God, are peace and bring peace. You remember in Galatians where we read about the fruit of the Spirit? They include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these are gifts. Gifts given to Joseph back then, gifts given to us now. Into his inner turmoil, God spoke and God came, and the presence of God brought peace, and the peace enabled Joseph to be obedient and to do what God was calling him to do. You remember all those stories I told about Christmas, all the good and the bad? You know, those honestly are just the activities around Christmas. Those things that we do that point to what Christmas is about, but they are not Christmas themselves. Christmas is not a checklist of things to do, or cleaning the house and decorating the house, or getting the presents brought and wrapped, making the travel plans, sending out cards, doing the baking, all of those things. No, the reality is that Christmas is a gift that comes to us and comes upon us and can be a gift of peace for us as well. And Christmas comes no matter what we do or we don't do. It doesn't matter if the tree stands or if the tree falls. Christmas comes. Christ comes. And Christ is God with us. Peace is not something that we achieve, but something that comes to us. It's not the absence of conflict, but the presence of Christ with us. It's the presence of Christ with us in our times of joy and in our times of sorrow, in our times of strife and in our times of worldly peace, in our times of grief, in our times of loneliness, in our times of challenge, in our easy days and in our hard days. Because Christ's peace is more than the world's peace. Christ's peace is a peace that passes all understanding. It is God with us in every moment of every day. One of my favorite Christmas songs is "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." It actually has several different tunes that go along with it. So you might be singing one in your head, but your neighbor might be singing an entirely different one. There is a traditional one. There's one done by Casting Crowns. There's one made popular by Bing Crosby. You can look them all up on YouTube. These wonderful words have been set time and again. The words were written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And I think understanding the story behind why he wrote it is significant to why I love this song. You see, Longfellow had actually had a wife that had died early in their marriage. And after several years, he remarried. Unfortunately, his second wife, Fanny, had tragically died also after her dress caught on fire. Longfellow had been asleep, and he had heard all of a sudden the commotion, was awakened from the nap, and he tried to extinguish the flames as the best he could. First he tried a rug, and then he tried his own body, but she unfortunately had already suffered severe burns, and she died the next morning. His own burns from this experience were severe enough that he actually was not even able to attend his own wife's funeral. He stopped shaving on account of this. So if you see a picture of him and he has that long beard, that is why. And her death sent him into a period of grief that was so extreme that in his writings he says he was afraid that he would be sent to an asylum. He grieved deeply and long and hard. And 2 years later, in mid-December, in the middle of the war, his oldest son is badly injured in battle. And he comes home and they don't know if he's going to make it. And Longfellow is barely holding it all together. And so he awakens on this Christmas morning. It's 1863, and he hears the church bells that during this time, with this aural peal of joy to announce Christmas morning. And he wrote this poem to capture the dissonance in his own heart, this grief and this sorrow and this fear that he felt, and what he saw, this world at war, this dissonance between this and the pealing of the bells. And so he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, the wild and sweet, the world's repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought of how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the houses born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." The bells themselves were not God's presence. They were just huge pieces of cast bronze, but they reminded him that beyond the carnage of war, beyond his own grief and pain and fear, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Thankfully, God's peace is not the same as the world's peace. The peace that Jesus leaves us with and left his disciples with and leaves all believers with is peace that the world simply cannot give. It's greater than a ceasefire, more powerful than a signed treaty. God's peace is a word of quiet to a troubled heart, a word of hope in the midst of fear, and a word of healing in the face of trauma. It is peace which gives us, like it gave Joseph, strength to face the challenges of our lives. It is not the absence of conflict or challenge. It is the presence of Christ, who came as a baby into a strife-filled world and brought the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love. It is God with us, Emmanuel, God present even in our times of trial, our God present with us no matter what we're going through. Whether the tree stands or the tree falls, God is with us. And we belong to God. Christ has come, and Christ will come again. Author Madeline Lingle expressed it this way: love still takes the risk of birth. God chooses to be born into this mess. God chooses to take on human flesh and enter into the chaos and the heartache of our world, choosing to be with us in it all. God enters into the chaos and sits with us. Friends, Christ Emmanuel is God with us. Thanks be to God.